This episode is brought to you by IVP. Use promo code IVPWHP, that's IVPWHP, at ivpress.com to get 40% off and free U.S. shipping on any IVP resources mentioned in this episode.
Theology isn't just for scholars. It's for everyone, including our families. In his book, Faith Foundations, Brian Dembosic introduces and explores core Christian doctrines, providing parents and children the essential truths of Christianity. Through 99 family devotions, Faith Foundations shows that discipleship isn't meant to be done alone, and it definitely isn't just for grown-ups. And as a listener of this podcast, you can receive a special discount on this book. Check the show notes for more details.
This is IVP. Welcome to the Wholehearted Households Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Blunt. In every episode, we spotlight a book of the Bible, share a discipleship nugget for you and your family, and end with a spiritual practice to draw closer to God. My oldest was given a cheap insect-catching kit that she adored. It came complete with a little explorer vest. Even when we were indoors, she was finding pretend bugs to catch. That is, until one day when she accidentally stepped on one of the pieces used to catch the insects and it broke beyond repair. Perhaps for the first time, she experienced true loss, though those invisible bugs were certainly relieved. If your life is anything like mine, you'll be very familiar with the experience of things breaking. Car batteries die, favorite toys inexplicably stop working, dishwashers fill up with water and refuse to drain. Sometimes, though, more precious things break. Sentimental objects shatter. Friendships fracture, relationships break down, and while not every broken appliance or fractured relationship can be mended, our God is a God of rebuilding. This week, in the partner books of Ezra and Nehemiah, we'll hear the story of a period of hope and rebuilding for the Israelites who are returning to Jerusalem after a long period of exile. Then, you'll hear some ideas for integrating a spiritual element into the everyday work of mending and rebuilding. Finally, we'll take a few moments to make space for delight in our lives, a practice that flows from and fuels us for the continued work of building hope in our lives. Let's invite God now to be with us during this time together. Dear God, may you open our ears, our minds, our souls, and our whole hearts to receive whatever you may have for us and our families today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Bible Spotlight today focuses on the books of Ezra and Nehemiah and is adapted from the Life Guide Bible Study, Nehemiah, The Courage to Face Opposition, by Don Fields. Ezra and Nehemiah are closely tied, with the Hebrew Bible actually treating the two books as one. Together, they cover a period of about 100 years. In 587 BC, the southern kingdom of Israel, Judah, was conquered by the Babylonians, and God's people were removed from the land and deported to Babylon. In 538 BC, Cyrus freed the Israelites from their captivity, sending many of them back to their homeland to build a temple. As the narrative unfolds, we learn about three key leaders. Zerubbabel led the first group of Israelites out of exile to rebuild the temple. Then Ezra brought the law back into Israel's life. Finally, Nehemiah leads the rebuilding of the wall that made Jerusalem secure. While Zerubbabel and Ezra worked more in the religious realm, Nehemiah was really sent to Judah to be a governor of the land, and that gave him a lot more ability to make some lasting changes in the life of the people. The people needed Nehemiah's strong leadership to handle the opposition to their work. From the beginning of his journey, Nehemiah knows this will be a difficult task, and his prayer can be found in Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. He prays, "Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you, day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you. we have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave to your servant Moses. Here, Nehemiah recognizes God's sovereignty and faithfulness, and he responds with repentance. He then pleads his case before God, continuing in verse 8. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Relying on God's promises, Nehemiah seeks to return the exiled people back to God, both physically and spiritually. His gifts in administration and perseverance enable him to mold the Israelites back into the people of God, so they could obey God's commands and have a distinction from the people around them. It was not enough to build just the wall. Nehemiah had to build a people that would once again stand on their own as God led them.
Now it's time for this week's Discipleship Nugget. The books of Ezra and Nehemiah are a roller coaster for the Israelites who are returning from exile and facing the question of how to move forward after their return. When they return to their land, the Israelites' greatest priority is to rebuild the temple, and to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. In fact, rebuilding is a huge theme throughout both books. While the leaders of Israel are working hard to rebuild the temple and walls of Jerusalem, the people of Israel are also trying to rebuild their lives after a traumatic exile and years, decades even, away from their home. Though we might not be constructing walls and temples, the need for rebuilding is an important one for us too. Things fall apart in our lives. Patterns and habits come to an end. And sometimes things in our homes literally break. We might have to start over after losing a job or moving to another state or country, or just breaking something around the house. In truth, rebuilding is as crucial for us as it was for the ancient Israelites returning to Jerusalem. The act of rebuilding, putting back together what was once torn apart, is an act of hope. Rebuilding is an act of rebellion against despair. It's a declaration that what once was destroyed is not permanently destroyed. Rebuilding is a symbolic act that God is still at work in our stories. So this week's discipleship nugget is to find something in your home or neighborhood that your family can help rebuild. It could be a small home repair at your home or a neighbor's home, or it could be a habit or family tradition that has been forgotten, but that you can revive. Find something that your family can work intentionally to rebuild. And as you start that work, make sure to find one small way that each of your children can participate too, whether it's holding a wrench for you or letting them participate in the family tradition in a new way. And as you start to rebuild old habits or repair broken things, remind yourself and your family that God is present in the rebuilding, just like he was for the Israelites. As you finish your rebuilding project, it's my hope that it serves you as a reminder of hope that what is broken in this world will soon be rebuilt by hands that are much more capable than ours. And I hope that your rebuilding project is a symbol of God's own handiwork in your life.
Now it's time for this week's spiritual practice, where we'll take a moment to experience God's restoration through practicing delight. In Ezra and Nehemiah, we see the Israelites return from exile back to their homeland in celebration and joy. It is this joy and delight in coming home that sustains the Israelites for the long work ahead of them as they rebuild their city. Just like the Israelites, joy and delight are what sustain us in the long work of discipling our families to follow Jesus. How do you delight? In his book, Beauty and Resistance, author and father Jonathan Walton writes that this is the question his spiritual director asked him at the start of his sabbatical. Though he spouted off some Sunday school approved answer, his true answer was that he didn't know. He asked himself, what in my life would not bring me attention or accolades professionally, didn't provide any sort of income or sense of productivity, and could bring me joy? And finally, he arrived at the answer, baking. telling stories of warm bread straight out of the oven and birthday pound cakes baked by his mom. Jonathan reminds us that if rest is the foundation, the rhythms of restoration are the walls, studs, and joints that are necessary for a house to stand. What rhythms of restoration support your house? What people, practices, and patterns fill your cup? How do you delight? Maybe your answer is similar to Jonathan's answer at the beginning of his sabbatical, that you don't know what delights you right now. Or maybe you're well connected to sources of joy and delight in your life, and this answer comes easily to you. Whatever your answer is, I invite you to take one step towards delight right now. This could be as simple as slowly, intentionally brewing a cup of tea or coffee, or as extensive as planning a day or afternoon to experience nature or do a hobby. Feel free to pause this episode to slow down and take that step toward delight. As we close our spiritual practice today, I'll leave you with this story from Jonathan's book. Kimberly, my spiritual director, gave me an assignment that felt more like an experiment: to bake a pound cake. I was to be on the lookout for an opportunity, like my mama did, to make something for someone to show that I cared about them while also doing something that brought me joy. So I made a vanilla pound cake for a friend who lost his aunt. I prayed for him while I mixed wet and dry ingredients together and didn't listen to an audiobook or podcast. Instead, I reflected on what it's like to lose someone and asked God to come near him, like he had done for me when my mama died. After the cake was done, I got on the subway and met him on his lunch break at a construction site. We ate in his truck and shared memories of his aunt, and 3/4 of that loaf disappeared. It was difficult and delightful to be present with my friend in his grief. I did not end his suffering, but was able to be present with him through it. May God bless you to experience the delight that sustains and connects us to God's work and one another today. Amen.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Wholehearted Households Podcast, a production of InterVarsity Press. We pray that you and your family have been blessed by this episode as you seek to follow Jesus with your whole heart. Please check out our show notes to learn more about the books, resources, and authors referenced in today's episode, and use code IVPWHP to get 40% off and free U.S. shipping on any of these books at ivpress.com. This podcast was made possible by the generous support of the Lilly Endowment. If you appreciated the resources in this episode, please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or on your favorite podcast player. The show was written and produced by Karen Sabella Stallard, Caitlin Borek, Abby Lee, and Travis Albritton, and narrated by Caitlin Borek, Jack Reese, and Karen Sabella Stallard. I'm your host, Alex Blunt. Join us next week for another episode of the Wholehearted Households Podcast.
Parents today have a daunting task, helping their kids to love and follow Jesus in a world that pushes many competing narratives to do the opposite. In the Teacher Children Well podcast, host Sarah Cowan Johnson reveals 2 approaches that Christian parents can choose from to teach their kids, one informed by the world's culture and one informed by the biblical story. Through enriching and engaging conversations, Sarah and her guests explore what each approach has to say about a range of topics, such as technology, anxiety, sexuality, and much more. And you'll discover how the biblical story offers wisdom and good news for the 21st century parent. Listen or watch today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.